So let us go up to the Mount of God together and be blessed and be strengthened, be encouraged this week. I appreciate your pastor and the first lady here at the church. The Peppers are such a precious family and wonderful people in our lives, mentors, and we look to them, we love them. I appreciate that. I mean that with all of my heart. Brother Jason and I spent extended time together today, and childhood friends, and he told it right. Amen. You mess with him, you're getting the rest of the Gans boys. And I appreciate his friendship. And again, more family than friends. Brother Lucas as well. And love and appreciate him. Let's go to God's Word. What do you say? You ready for the Word tonight? Ezra chapter 9, please. As you're turning to God's Word, believing God to speak to us tonight from this book. As I prayed, sought the Lord about this revival, I know God has some special things in store for us, and I want to be sensitive to Him. And at any time that the Holy Spirit begins to move on your heart, you just allow Him to do what He does and work in your life, and it'll be just fine with me. I'm with Pastor. I'm not about to let the charismatics take over Pentecost. Amen. I believe that there's enough of the Spirit of God to lead and guide in the service this evening. Ezra chapter 9, please, and let's begin reading at verse number 5. If you found it, say amen. At the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to Thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. Our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. Sounds like the world we're living in, doesn't it? And now for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes, give us a little reviving in our bondage. We were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. Praise God. Look to verse 8 and we'll find our text there. The Bible said that God has left us a remnant to escape, to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes, give us a little reviving in our bondage. Praise the Lord. If the Lord help me tonight, the Holy Ghost is stand by me. Like to preach on your response to a little revival. Your response to a little revival. Would you pray and let's ask God to have His way here tonight. Father, we thank You for Your Word, Lord, that is forever settled in heaven. Let it settle now upon the hearts of Your people as it goes forth. Lord, let the Word not return void, but accomplish what You please and prosper where You send. Right now, Lord, I take authority over every foul spirit of hell that would attempt to distract or turn us away from this great move of Your Spirit in this church. Help us to focus, God, to be blessed, to be encouraged, to be strengthened, and to leave changed. And we'll give You the glory and praise in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Praise God. Your response to a little revival. In the days of the horse and buggy, there was a little girl named Sally Chesterfield. Her father made, and they made their way up the walk to the church, and the white steeple there, the big red doors, on that little church in the country. And as they walked past the rows of buggies and horses that were tied there at the hitching post, she said, "Look, Father, all of these horses." And he said to his daughter, he said, "What is it, sweetheart?" And little Sally looked at her father and she said, "Well, Papa, they're Christian horses. They're Christian horses." "And why do you say that, honey?" asked her father. She said, "Well, look, because they all have such long faces." Now that's a poor joke to get started. That's a little humor, amen, to help you here tonight. But can I tell you, we've got a lot of reasons to have a little revival. You don't have to look very far in the church to realize that me and you and we and us and all of us here tonight have some reasons for a little revival. And as it was in Ezra's day, many had turned away from the Word of God. And Ezra was doing his best, not really a preacher, not really a prophet, you might say, just a scribe, just a man called on by God to stand up and share the Word in front of the people, to copy the Word of God and so it would be without error, to be able to take that Word and pass it from one generation, Brother Laredo, to the next. Yes, Brother Ezra had an important job, but not everybody, amen, was happy to be on the road to revival. Not everybody was excited about God moving and working in their midst. But however, there were a few that were like Nehemiah and others, Esther, and maybe a few more through the texts of Scripture, down through the pages of your Bible. And we look back through the ages of time and we see men and women who said, "I'll stand outside in the courtyard for hours at a time and listen to hear a word from the Lord." I want to tell you, there was something about their response toward God sending a little revival in their midst. And all through this text, Brother Jason, over and over, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, to repair the desolations thereof. How many knows the church in this hour is much in need of repair? I have passed many churches just last week in Wisconsin as we were passing through that state, and all the beautiful pine trees and the churches here and there. And I would see beautiful churches, Pastor, that were well maintained, that had beautiful landscaping and fine signs along the side of the road. But you didn't have to look very far to see that little church off to the side. You could tell by their budget that they didn't have very much money. You could tell by their vision that nobody had really looked past the dandelions. Come on, somebody. And the fence that need painted and the roof that needed shingled. Can I tell somebody, where there's no vision, the people perish. What we need in this hour is for men and women to rise up and say, "This will be my response when God begins to send a revival." Like he said tonight, "I'm going to work. I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe. I'm going to give." Why? Because God is still sending revival. Hallelujah. Look at this nail in the holy place. Here we find that suggests permanence, that is fashioned in place. And then he says a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. We got some builders here tonight. The nail is so very important when it's put into the wall, because it secures things and fastens things in place so that it might stay. And then notice the grace that comes in this space of revival of verse 8 as we point out these things in the text. Gently apply them to your heart and life and realize that God would like to send you a revival that will last, a joy that will hang on, a peace that will remain. Can I tell somebody tonight, when God does things, they stay, they remain. Thank God for the people who have remained in church through the thick and the thin. Thank God for the people who give when they didn't have it. Thank God for the people who worked when they were weary. Amen. Those are the remnant people. Those are the people that are going to experience a great revival. But can I tell you tonight, God is still putting a nail in the holy place. There's still some things that are secure in the church. And one of those things, my brothers and sisters, is God will not fail, amen, to send revival whenever that you and I need it. Let us be willing to respond to Him tonight. That nail won't fail. And God has placed this space of grace, the scripture says. And I believe it's prophetic not only for Ezra's time, but also for our time. In the hour that we live, this age or dispensation of grace called the church age, where God is still pouring out His Spirit and God is still dealing with men and women, boys and girls. Before we look up and see judgment come down from heaven, know that Christ died on the cross, that none will perish, but that all might receive everlasting life. He said the gospel of the kingdom would be preached unto all the world, unto all nations, and then shall the end come. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying revival is not just for the local church, but God's wanting to send it to the nations. God's raising up Bible schools. God's raising up ministries. God's raising up missionaries. Why? Because revival is bigger than what you and I can conceive and understand and see with our eye. Let me tell you, God's never been without a plan, and He never abandoned the church. Amen. Revival is something that's been securely fastened in place and ready. At a moment's time, He can lift it and send it to us. Amen. Believe with me tonight and respond when God sends revival. Notice the expected repentance. For repentance always brings revival. Walk through the Bible with me, and you'll note time and time and time again when God's people turned away to false gods and idols and religions and abandoned the commands of God for the pagan practices of other nations, He would draw them to a place of repentance and they would begin to fear God again. Why is it that we need to repent, Brother Rick? Because we have a tendency to trespass. We have a tendency to turn away. We increase in our iniquity. Don't tighten up on me tonight. Amen. But sometimes the heaviness that is between us and heaven is not because God is in a lack or in a place where He is unable to send revival, but rather this heaviness has simply become upon us because of our sin, because of our laziness, because of our apathy, because of our indifference in the church. Can't get no help in here tonight. But here's what I want you to know. There's one way out. There's still a road to revival. And that road, my brothers and sisters, the sign, if you'll look at it, says repentance. I say let the church go down the road again toward revival and do what Ezra did and believe God and repent and see a little reviving at the end. Praise God. I fell on my knees. I spread out my hands to the Lord my God. I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face unto Thee. One preacher said, we are the generation that cannot blush. We have legalized same-sex marriage. We have allowed abortion to continue. We have continued to move toward immorality and idolatry in this nation to the point where God must surely judge America. My former pastor, Dr. William Hill, years ago said, if Jesus doesn't come, God's going to have to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them. Can I tell you, God's never going to do that. And judgment is coming. And what does your Bible say? He said, judgment will come to the house of God. And if it first begin at us, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? I'm taking time on this first point tonight to tell you and me, us,
We need to find a place of repentance and seek out the heart of God again. I believe the heartbeat of God is evangelism. It's for souls. It's for the lost to be saved. Amen. Heaven help the church to wake up in this hour and realize what we need more than anything is a little revival. I said we need a little revival, because if we can have revival, the world can be touched and changed for Christ. Can you say amen? The expected repentance. And sometimes, Sister Mindy, this heaviness that is between us and heaven is not because of God's doing, but rather because of our doing. He said, I'm ashamed. I can't lift up my face. Our iniquities are increased over our head. Brother Tom Paretic years ago was preaching about head games. And he was talking about the things in our thought life that we deal with as Christians, even as believers. And he made the statement, he said, if many of us could see what's going on in each other's minds and in each other's thoughts, if there was a screen, if you will, like a laptop computer that popped up from our head and we saw the mind games and the battles and the issues and the thoughts that some believers, come on now, that are dealing with, that you and I would realize, amen, there is times that there is a heaviness over us. Iniquities are increased over our heads. Not popular preaching in the church, amen, but revival starts to sanctify your thought life. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. How does that happen? When you and I hit the altar and we start repenting. Amen. We start thinking different. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. When I get up from the altar of repentance, I want to be able to go on my way shouting, because I've left repentance and I've moved toward revival. Expected repentance. Notice the escaped remnant. Praise God. They were in a difficult place. Many of them, through Scripture, as you read about the remnant, were under the oppressive hand of their taskmaster. Be it in Egypt, there was a remnant, and Moses brought them out. In Babylon, there was a remnant. Amen. And Daniel, and three Hebrew boys, and others were raised up as beacons of hope and righteousness. And God brought them out. What are you trying to say? I'm saying God can turn it around. Even in America, God can turn it around. How's he going to do it, Brother Tim? Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, can I hear you tonight, and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. What we need is a remnant to get right and realize that God has a way out for us. Even in Rome, when there was an oppressive hand upon that early church, God raised up John and Peter and Paul and others to preach the gospel, and God's still bringing the church out. I said he won't fail us. He'll keep us, praise God. There's a remnant that is able to escape. The Bible tells us we shall be able to escape the judgment which will come upon this earth. I'm not one of these that believe that we're going through the great tribulation. But I do believe tonight we are not appointed under wrath, but to salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not here to argue with you doctrine on eschatology. I'm just telling you there's an escaped remnant in the book of Ezra. Amen. In the day in which you and I live, there's going to be a remnant that escapes, that gets up out of here. Church, it's the blessed hope. Amen. I'm not staying here, amen, to fall underneath the Antichrist and bow down to his little regime. Amen. But there is one Christ. He is Lord. He is Savior. And he is my soon coming King. I plan to get up out of here. I'm looking for the exit door. How do I leave this place? I got to be right with the Lord. I got to be repentant in my heart. Amen. God's coming back for a church that's in revival. A church that's on fire for him. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I'm glad to be a part of a remnant that's going to escape. They escaped, Brother Lucas, their misery. And according to the text, they walked in God's mercy. The thing that they did not deserve. From bondage into freedom.
One preacher said their enemy had taken them, but God had not forsaken them.
You ever feel like you got taken? You go to a store, you were going to buy that item, there was a price marked on it, and you said, you know what, I'm going to pay for that. And then you got out of the store and you looked at your receipt, and it was more than what the price said. And you felt like you got taken. Can I tell you tonight, Jesus paid it all. Amen. He took every beating, every stripe. He took all the punishment for and everything that you and I, the wrath of God that would come upon us because of our sin. Amen. The justice and the judgment of God that was appointed to us. Oh, Jesus took it all. Thank God. All we have to look forward to is grace. Amen. The great escape. When you and I can leave, we are free to go. No charge. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Jesus died to provide eternal life for us. I'm taking some time to remind you. Amen. That you couldn't get out of this world. And you couldn't get out of your sin. Amen. The devil didn't let you go. But Jesus set you free. Praise God. And he that has made you free. Amen. Shall be making you free indeed. Know this tonight. There is a great escape for the remnant. We're getting out of here. Praise God. The expected repentance. The escaped remnant. The extended revival. It's hard sometimes to schedule a lengthy revival in 2024. You see, revival in days gone by would last days, weeks, months, even years. Brother Titus is sitting over there saying, please, please, no, no. God alone, Brother Laredo, knows the space of our text, the grace that he's given us. I don't know how long revival's going to last. I couldn't tell you when Asbury was going to get started and when it stopped. I can't tell you what happened at Azusa Street and all the ins and outs and dates and important people. But what I do know is right here at Calvary Lighthouse Church, there has been a space made for us. Just a Wednesday through a Sunday. Is this okay, Pastor? And I realize there's just a few nights and just a few moments. And it seems like a little revival. But Sister Sarah, we've got a lot of reasons to have a little revival tonight. Amen. If you look around, there's a lot of reasons sitting on the pews, on the chairs. Amen. You're the reason, Brother Tate, that we're having revival. Sister Linda, you're the reason that we drove up here from Iowa. Mimi, amen. You're the reason why we came to church tonight. Why is it? Amen. It's been extended by God to us. We can hold up what God is doing. This nail's not going to fail us. In the last days, he's given us something secure. Amen. It's strong to hold on to. It's called his grace. Praise God. And his grace won't fail us. I wonder tonight, is there anybody in the house that can still lift up a hand and say, his grace is still amazing. Praise God. It's still enough for me. Can you say amen? There's a space that God has given us. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. In the mid-1800s, in the town of Kells in Northern Ireland, four men each Saturday met on an evening for intense prayer. The whole night was devoted to prayer. Four men. Shortly afterwards, in Kells, 1800s, Northern Ireland, there was a powerful revival. Four men. You've read it, you know it. Courts were adjourned for lack of cases. Jails were closed because they had no criminals. Are you listening to me? And the policemen, get this, formed quartets to sing in churches because they had nothing else to do. I want you to, are you listening to me? And we got enough corrupt politicians in this hour. And we've got some drug deals going on the street corner. And sometimes the policeman looks the other way. But I want you to know, in the hour that we are living in, we are ripe for a real revival. I said there are sinners that are lost that still need saving. There's sick people, amen, that are
are so destitute that God can still heal them. Praise God. Amen. There are devils that can still be cast out in this last hour. And I just want to know, does anybody feel like having a little revival before this thing is over? God, would you extend it to us once again? Over and over and over and over, Nehemiah said, we've got to keep working. They're fighting against us. Sanballat, Tobiah, same time period. All the rest of them, they're rebuilding the wall again. What are you doing? A fox could break down that wall. I'm building up the wall. I ain't coming down to talk to you. Amen. What were they doing in Ezra's day? Not only in Nehemiah's day were they rebuilding the wall again, but in Ezra's day, Brother Laredo, they were returning to the Word again. They were coming back to the Word of God. And what we need in America is not only a revival of common sense, amen, but we need to return back to the Word of God again. I've had enough of social media. I've had enough of Facebook and Twitter and all the rest. I've had enough of TV and YouTube and this and that and the other. But I can tell you what'll bring a Holy Ghost revival again is when the church returns to God and takes Him at His word and says, you know what, if God said it, He'll do it. Amen. And you can take it to the bank. You can stand on it. There's a revival that's coming again. Return to the Word. What else did they do? I believe that, Brother Tim, they returned not only to the Word, but they began to restore the worship again. Idolatry in some form or another is worship. But Jesus looked at people that were gathered around and said, now the time is when the true worshipers. Wonder why the devil fights the church so much. Because it's full of true worshipers. He's not going to fight them when they're down there at the ball game, worshiping their God. He's not going to fight them when they're down there at the casino and handling their God. He's not going to fight them, come on somebody, when they're parked up at the beer bar, amen, and popping back and enjoying their God. Amen. But He is going to fight those that will choose to worship and that will refuse to cower to the man-made things of this world and say, you know what, amen, the Lord God is God and Him only will I serve. I'm here to worship Him. Amen. That's my response to a little revival. Praise God. I'm going back to the Word. I'm going to build the wall and I'm going to restore worship again. Can you say amen? Preachers, I call upon you tonight to restore the worship again. Because in the church, in some areas, in some places, it's sadly missing. But when we worship Him in spirit and in truth, the Father seeketh such, the Bible said. You want an instant connection with heaven? Return to worship again. I was reading about a man named John, let me find his name here, John Ferraro, and he made the Guinness World Book of Records, not for what you might think, for brushing his teeth longer than somebody else or running a mile or doing some great feat like this, but rather John Ferraro, he won a place in the Guinness World Book of Records. They said that his skull was twice as thick as an average human, probably three times as thick. A Boston area man went on world record, and the newspaper said, quote, he nailed it. He nailed it. Look over at somebody next to you and tell them he nailed it. He nailed it. How did he do that? Did he take a hammer? No. History records that this man, John Ferraro, nailed it by pounding 38 nails into a board with his skull in under 2 minutes. Oh, John. Are you there, John? Are you still with us? They called him Hammerhead. His skull
proven by x-rays to be twice as thick, 16 millimeters thick, and the average is only 6.5. Take a look at this man that they say truly is a numbskull. A man, I know what you're thinking. No, not me, not us. We've all got it. We're all good. We're not hitting our head against the wall. We're not trying to pound nails with our head. But did you know there are people in the church that still struggle to believe? Listen to the preacher tonight. That revival is still essential. That is still important. You listen to this hollering, sweating preacher while I tell you that revival is not only essential, but it is a requirement for the church of the living God. I believe that you and I, in order for the current condition of the church and her future success, we must have revival. I saw it on a church sign the other day. Brother Matt, good to see you tonight. Said this church is a gift from God to the community. Some assembly may be required. Imagine that. You know what our favorite song is since COVID? He's an online God. Yes, He is. Come on, laugh with me a little while. He's an online God. Bedside assembly. Right? Come on now. And since 2020, we have laid it home. We have set back. I'm not just preaching to Calvary Lighthouse. I'm talking about the church in general. And we have set back and let the devil take our joy. And we have set back and let the devil take our peace. And Brother Kennard, we have set back and let the devil blind our eyes to the vision of a harvest field. Come on now. Amen. And what we need to do is wake up the sleeping giant, call the church, and shake her once more and tell her again, there is yet a little revival. It depends on your response. If you want it, you can have it. You can have it. You can have it just like the Bible says. We need it. We know we need it, Sister Lindsay. And if we ever needed a Holy Ghost, fire blazing, hand raising, saints shouting, heaven shaking, attitude adjusting, Holy Ghost, a revival. I'm talking about an altar praying, a soul saving, a life changing, a revival. Praise God, Sister April. Amen. We need it, and we need it now. I said America needs it, and she don't need it by 2030. We're not scheduling it. We're not voting on it. We're asking God to send it, because I believe revival has yet been extended to the church. Can you say amen? It's almost as if God is extending His hand once more to the church and saying, there's a little reviving for you, my church. Your response to my little reviving. And the church takes the hand of God and says, yes, I will receive. And where God goes, the church soon follows, and God leads the way, and the church begins to prosper, and the church begins to grow, and the church is blessed. Why? Because the church once again takes hands with the Holy God, who sent His Son to provide eternal life for them. My brothers and sisters, what is your response? Will you respond to this little revival? You may say, you know what? We need it in a big way. I believe God can send little things in a big way. I said He can send little things in a big way. If you and I will just respond to be willing and say yes, can you say amen? Give us a nail in His holy place. Lighten our eyes. Give us a little reviving in our bondage. The kings of Persia have risen up against us. But we're here to set up the house of our God. Are you saying the church has fallen down? I don't know. I'm not here to answer that question. I'm just here to set her back up. I know we've fallen down at the prayer meeting. I know we've fallen down on our outreach. Hang with me just a minute more. I know we've fallen down on some of our unity. And sometimes we've fallen down as a church. I want to be careful taking care of our widows and our orphans. Come on now. I know we have fallen down sometimes as a church in our missions program. And we have fallen down in our worship. Amen. And we have fallen down in our praise. And sometimes we have fallen down in having vision for the future and being able to transition from one generation. Yes, I know. And I'm not down on the church, but I'm also a realist. Sometimes the church has indeed fallen down. But the church that falls down on her knees is a church that can get up in revival. Oh, praise God. Their lives will be lightened. There's a nail that she can reach for in the holy place. Amen. And there's a little reviving that you and I can have. Oh, praise God. But it doesn't stop there. He said there's a wall in Judah. Oh, praise God. Brother Sanders, I see you leaning back against that wall. Can I tell somebody what Judah means? It means praise. I'd like for somebody tonight to say, this is my wall, devil. And it's a wall of praise. And I'm going to hold on because God is sending a little revival in this hour. Would you stand up on your feet tonight? Begin to lift your hands and give the Lord glory as she comes to the music. Oh, Ezra. Ezra, what does your name mean? Oh, what does your name mean? Well, Ezra would tell us tonight that his name simply means help. 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 Help! Help me, Lord. I've fallen down and I can't get back up. Help! Help! Can you hear the church crying? Help! 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 And God comes by. And what does He do? In the church's cry for help, does He hit her? Does He wail on her? Does He scold her? Does He get after her and remind her of all of her past and her sins? No. The text says that this is a space of God's grace. What does He do? Those that are cast down, the Bible said, the Lord will raise up with His mighty hand. Amen. Know this tonight, that if you're down low, God wants to lift you up to heavenly places with Christ. There's a little reviving for you tonight. Help. Help, Lord. Help. Somebody pray that little short prayer with me right now. Help. Oh, Calvary Lighthouse needs a little help tonight. As you're coming out of that pew and you're getting in that place, that little space of grace, and you're responding in your way to revival, you're saying, preacher, what does revival look like? I'll tell you what revival looks like. Revival looks like prayer at an altar. Oh, it looks like a hand raised up in praise. Revival looks like a believer getting filled. Revival looks like a backslider coming home. Revival sounds like a prayer warrior in a time of travail. Preacher, what is this little revival all about anyway? It's a preacher with a message to preach. Oh, it sounds like a big shout of praise. Okay, preacher, what does revival supposed to feel like? Well, you know that big heavy burden that's been on your shoulder? Revival feels like it getting lifted off. Revival feels like a second wind, Brother Jason. That's a blow in our way. Revival feels like a heavenly hand that's a reaching down to help you and me tonight. Oh, that's what revival feels like. I don't know what your little revival is going to be, but I can tell you right now from the bottom of my heart what my response is going to be. Yes, Lord, yes. To your will and to your way. Oh, in the name of Jesus. God, there's people here tonight so dry.